Okay. What I did was, just to explain to everyone, Article 4, Section 5, Election Time Frame of the Bylaws. The date in the bylaws right now is June 1st, when nominations open. I have substituted that with September 1st, for obvious reasons. And the nominations period remains open for 30 days, and it closes on previously, or according to the bylaws, June 30th. Our new date would be September 30th. The National and Local Election Supervisors shall thereafter prepare the written ballots for each radio station, listing all the candidates and setting forth all other information required by these bylaws. Ballots shall be mailed or otherwise made available to the members on bylaws day August 15th, new date November 15th, or the following day if August 15th, new date November 15th is mailed holiday. To be counted, a ballot must be received on or before bylaws date September 30th, new date December 30th. And then going on about the bylaws, go on to if there are, the National Election Supervisor shall have up to 15 days after the election close date to count the ballots and to certify the results of the LSB, the board, and the members, which results must be reported by bylaws date October 15th, new date January 15th.
Okay, so a point of information, Vanessa. What impact does this have on the election of the P and B members, that vote that takes place? Because we had this issue last year at PFW, and there were people who tried to use those late election dates to achieve a different outcome.
Well, so, that was my reference originally. That was my opening comment. Is that that's a different issue. That's a separate governance committee issue. I suggest we take that up at our next meeting. But right now what I think that is urgent is to actually have an elections timeline to minimize our legal exposure, and then the governance committee can certainly make recommendations to the PMB as to a new date by which officers have to be nominated, a new date by which officers need to be elected, a new date by which directors need to be elected, and the new date by which directors will be seated.
Point of information.
Okay, John.
As written, it seems to be a permanent change in the election schedule. I would favor, on this theory, that optimistically that the network will survive, that these changes be made for this election, or maybe rewritten to indicate maybe as late as. But I think in the future we should strive for the earlier times, which are less time constrained.
I should have included for this year, for 2013.
So you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyone want to speak to this? Is there any objection to this? Well, hearing none, it's passed as it stands. I do have a question for those who are on the PNB. It's certainly my intention and I think to see that these elections happen. Will this be sufficient, and what else needs to be done if not?
This is Lydia.
Good, Lydia.
I think that unless everyone is actually looking at dates, I mean, the time, you know, goes by so fast, and we have so much to deal with on the PMB that people haven't been focused on the fact that there's an actual calendar that needs to be met and conceivably can be met. Definitely a challenge. But the Elections Committee and this committee had asked the IED to post the NEAC ad for the National Election Supervisor. Hopefully that's being done. I have not checked the website lately. She did commit to doing that a couple of times, so hopefully we're on our way, because that first period when the nominations are coming through, and yes, local election supervisors have to be hired and so forth, but you know, it's a period where people are just sending in their paperwork and so forth. I think we already have the template from last year. And so it's doable, it's tight, it's stressful, but I think it can be done. And then, and I don't know that there's anything else that we, other than the individual PMB members, can do to advocate for this. So if you have PMB members who are not on the, well, obviously some are not on the call, and I would urge everyone from this committee to call them and ask them to advocate for resolution to this. And that's the only thing I can think of, unless someone else can think of something. But I would like to add for our next meeting to deal with the issue of the seating of the LSBs, the election of officers, and then the election of directors. Thank you.
Okay.
Tracy for the stack.
Tracy, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't think even with the best of intentions it's at all possible that nominations will open on September 1st. You've got to get a number of things into place before you can do that that are not into place. You don't have an NES, can't ask that person to, you know, make this happen within like 3 days after their hire. And the PNB does have a motion in effect that we are going to use online voting to reduce costs. We don't have a vendor to perform that service for us yet. And I think it's a little bit beyond our technical capacity to do it in-house. The other issue that is, you know, fairly obvious is that New York is not in a position to pay their costs. In the past, their costs have been $20,000 or $30,000. Perhaps if we don't print ballots but use online voting, that will be somewhat less. But whatever the amount is, it needs to be paid by the other stations, and there needs to be some commitment organizationally to do that because they're not going to be able to do it. I'm not sure where Washington is at. I think they can probably meet their costs, but they also have not been paying central services consistently. So both in covering their own collection costs in-house and in covering their percentage of the NES cost, there are problems. So it seems to me that we can pass timelines, and that's good to pass timelines, and we do need to solve the problem, but there is more to solving it than simply passing timelines. So we'll have to see kind of what happens next.
Okay.
I think that we will proceed, but I don't know if meeting this schedule is going to be possible or not.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak to the question I asked?
Pat.
Okay, Pat, good.
I think there's one other thing that's very problematic about this, and I just think it should be mentioned. I mean, I don't really see a way around it, but it's going to be very difficult to get candidates. It's candidates, we need to have on-air announcements, and we need to have people currently on the station boards to be recruiting to get enough candidates to have a viable election and to have this not pass until the end of August, and then it's going to be difficult to get enough candidates to have a viable election in addition to the other problems.
Lawrence Stack.
Okay, Lawrence.
I think this is a starting point. If anything, it puts I think constructive pressure on the process, and hopefully it'll move it forward.
Okay.
Vanessa.
Vanessa.
I just wanted to ask the people who raised objections. Are you suggesting not to move forward with this timeline? And if so, then what's the alternative?
Vanessa, the timeline's already been passed. I asked if there were any objections, and there weren't any to it.
Okay.
So it's going forward. They were responding to my
I see.
Basically, what else can we do? And that was the response.
Gotcha.
The next item and the last item on the agenda is yours, Vanessa, and it's...
No, George, it's Article 4 on the bylaws that I requested to put on the agenda.
I'm sorry, there's two items on the agenda, that's right. There's the concerns about the IED, and there's Article 4, Section 2?
5.
Vanessa, what put on the floor what you'd like to put on.
Okay. Well, very quickly. I raised it because I'm new to the LSB. I'm new to this committee, and I can speak as a member of the PSW-LSB that we have had a particular set of challenges that we've tried to address. And seeking to address those challenges, we needed information, cooperation of the IED. And so my concerns are, and I raise it because I wonder if there's a role for this committee in perhaps seeking to address those concerns, because the concerns I have about the IED have only been reinforced by the additional information that I received on these calls. So the specific issues are for me in terms of timeliness, and I've seen this reinforced in terms of the election. I presume that the IED is the one who has responsibility. And if I'm wrong, somebody will tell me, for the election process, and it's just woefully behind as it was last year. There at PFW's process is a process underway for the performance evaluation of the GM. And it took literally going to the PNB to get a vote of the PNB to get a response from, even just a response from the IED after, 7 months about the performance evaluation process. And the response was, there is no process, which I just find incredulous. And then there was the vote in January of the PFW-LSB with regard to initiating termination procedures for the GM. And still, that's an issue that has had to be taken to the PNB to be addressed, because there has been no response from the IED. And then there's the budgetary issue, which is an issue, that a problem that we have at PFW. You know, not having information, I think John expressed it extraordinarily well earlier. It's our fiduciary responsibility, and if we don't have the information, then we can't exercise that responsibility in the absence of information. And not only to find that that is a problem at PFW, I thought maybe we were just being the subject of some form of disrespect by the IED, but it seems to be the same situation, from what I've heard, and some of this is secondhand information, for the PNB, that they have the same budgetary concern that we have at the local station board level. And there's such consistency, such a parallel between what we experience at the station relative to the IED in terms of lack of information, lack of timeliness, what would appear to be lack of, please forgive me for using the word, competence. I don't know her. I've never met her. I'm just experiencing this phenomenon, and I am sort of flabbergasted by it. And accessibility to information. There was also the issue that arose at PFW with regard to we were trying to, you know, we lost our space at a station we'd been at a location we'd been at for years, and trying to get to another space, and then the finances of the Pacifica came up, and that the corporate status of Pacifica had been lost, which resulted in something having to do with losing the Pacifica name in its current form or something to that effect. So it's just this rolling sort of drive-by of one incident after another, and you know, being on this body or being a part of this body, you know, wondering if there's some sort of, there clearly is a problem to me, and just wondering if there's some role that this body could play in helping to address it. I don't know the structure and all of that of what the governance committee can do, but I know that there are those of you who have been a part of this for years and in other capacities, and I'm just, something has to be done. I just don't see Pacifica being well managed, and it trickles down, or rather it sort of floods down onto the level of the local stations, and just creates more chaos. It's like an avalanche of chaos. So that those
Thank
are
you
my
for the stack.
Okay, so there's a request for, well, you heard it, and is there something to be done that could be done here? Tracy.
Well, if you go by the normal definition of committees, you have a personnel committee on the PNB whose specific task is to evaluate EDs and IEDs and CFOs and ICFOs. So that would be where this action, if there is an action, would reside. It's not the governance committee. So I would think, George, that, you know, you would be familiar with that committee configuration and clarify that.
John, into the queue.
Did you want me to speak to it, Tracy? I mean, there was a personnel committee. And yes, it's supposed to do evaluations. Actually, there's also a hiring committee for an ED. John will take you first, but I'd be curious to, to know.
It's
from
the same committee. It's the same committee now. They merged earlier this year.
Okay, John, and then I just like to ask anyone who knows what's the status of that. Okay, John.
Yeah, Vanessa, with regards to your questions, the problems are longstanding and enduring and predate by many executive directors and interim executive directors the problems associated with the current IED. The problems have been that we've had a lot of problems in that position, and it is in fact shameful. The real issue, or one of the major issues, is that management disrespects LSB and PNB policies. You have seen in your own station that your general manager and or business manager have refused to give the LSB the information according to existing 2004 PNB policy. This is a flat-out disrespect. Going back to the, and this touches on the issue too, what else can we do about the elections? In KPFK in the last election, they prioritized our local elections last and did everything possible. We covered, you know, the Obama election, you know, in preference to our own election. And I think station managers' heads should roll when that happens. The fact is, and I probably should have put that into my motion, and maybe I'll do that next month, I think when the GM doesn't adequately publicize an election, it should just be terminated, flat out. And this has to be done with regard to all of these policies. With respect to the IED, I used to know her pretty well when she had the time to talk to us on our local board here. She's trying to fix the problems in New York and D.C., the financial problems there, and that's eating up her efforts. And I don't have the details, but I do know that's what's going on. She has herself, in conversations after the last LSB meeting to which she attended, she has expressed extreme frustration over the lack of policies. So I would urge you, well, you're not going to be able to find her, but if you ever could, I think that you'll probably find that your concerns and her concerns have a substantial degree of overlap. And when that, if that ever happens, I think you'll find that you will basically agree with her position. You probably don't agree with her not getting back to you. But we've had these problems with the previous thing. Arlene Engelhardt, you know, was there as for a long time, and these policies did not get expressed. It's an enduring problem in the office, and it's a problem with GM disrespect for both LSB and PNB policy, and the fact that we don't have meaningful consequences. Their heads do not roll. That's the basic problem. I hope that helps.
Okay, I'm going to put myself on the stack. Can anyone tell me what's the status of the search for an ED? I presume this is not secret.
Yes, I can, George.
Okay, Tracy.
There were a total of, I think this number is correct, it's either 67 or 63. I think it's 67 applicants. The PNB Personnel Committee has gone through them, and on the 12th, we will have it down to a list of approximately 10 to 12 for first-round interviews. We're expecting those interviews to get underway before the end of August, and there will be two rounds, and then we will be passing on a final pool to the PNB.
Thank you. I do have an item which is perhaps actionable, and it concerns me as a governance issue, which is The program committee passed, early January, actually last December, a motion asking that the IED, establish program councils at the stations.
Well, what is a program council?
The program council was a creation. This was done by the programming committee. A program council would be a place in which programs would be vetted. This was in the motion as it was passed by the PNB subsequently, discussions of what should be on the air would happen, and would be basically be advisory to the program director, but the program director was responsible for justifying, if he disagreed with the recommendation, that he justify what it would be, why he was disagreeing. It was also a place where if no other mechanism existed for grievances about programming issues to be aired, that they could be aired there. But the governance issue is, that I see, is that this was passed by the PNB by more than two-thirds, and simply hasn't been acted on by the IED. In fact, when I asked our general manager to ask her about that, she said, oh, no, that hadn't been passed. Well, it had been passed, and it had been passed before she said that. I've written to her and asked her what she's going to do about this, and I was chair of the programming committee at the time. And I've gotten no response at all. And so it seems to me an issue of who's really in charge. Is the PNB really in charge of this network? In some sense, it has to be in order for it to function. But it isn't clear that it really is. And anyway, I put it out there because I would like your thoughts about what to do about that, if anything. I just add that in the absence of any action by the IED, our local program director is basically insisting that he doesn't have to abide by what the PNB is saying. What not just saying, what the PNB passed as a motion. So.
Point of information?
Yeah. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, my question is, why does the IED have to do it? Why doesn't it go directly to the general managers? Because all the IED basically has to say is, make it so, general managers,
yes.
And then it goes to them.
That's exactly right, but she so far hasn't done that.
Well, that is just really a technicality. The fact is, I mean, here's more reason why heads should roll at the stations. General managers can see this, and they'd say, okay, it's the PNB's will that this should be done. Because of a bureaucratic failing, let's just call it a memory error, a senior moment, she failed to say, general managers, make it so, a one-sentence order or suggestion. And because we're so damn bureaucratic, the general managers take that as an excuse to derelict their duty. So heads should roll. So I think the PNB should just, or somebody should simply say to the general managers, hey, guys, do your jobs. Get this thing going.
Well, okay, Lawrence.
Too much bureaucracy.
Lawrence, I heard somebody else wanted to be on the stack after
Vanessa,
Lawrence.
This is Vanessa.
Vanessa, okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Lawrence is first, and then
Lawrence.
Okay. All right. I have, you know, issues as well with the IED, and I don't think, you know, digging up the grave of previous EDs or IEDs is, I think it's unique to the position, and I also think it's unique to the style that somebody has, and frankly, the attitude that somebody has in regards to, you know, the way they conduct business. One of the reasons I brought up Article 4, Section 2, was because I think there's so much conflict in terms of in that position right now, with the person also being an elected member with a vote, being able to shut down processes, being able to come to LSP meetings and shut down stuff, you know, and then vote for it. So one of the and I'll bring up Article 4, Section 2 when it's appropriate. But I think it's a function of attitude and it's a function of style, and it's a function of, you know, how serious do you take your job, you know, and how can somebody simplify the process of engaging in their job and engaging those who are elected to govern, you know. So I just like to add that, you know, to information to Vanessa. I think, you know, this is not unique, and it's not just happening at PSW. It's happening where, you know, where stations are still able to keep their head above water, and that includes KPFK. So, I mean, the whole idea that the Programming Director Search Committee was shut down, the IED attended the LSV meeting and apparently stated that she was asleep when that motion was read, and she was proceeding over the matter. So, I don't want to, you know, judge or anything like that, because I work in a field where you don't judge people. But this is a function of attitude, it's a function of style, and it's a function of integrity. So, you know, those are my concerns. I'll address my Article 4, Section 2 when it comes up.
Okay. Vanessa?
Well, I would support any motion if the idea of the program council or whatever would put some structure around trying to ensure that the person who has this very important responsibility, that when this person takes protracted amounts of time, I mean, I've heard it characterized as a senior moment. She's having a lot of senior moments. I understand that there might be some inherited difficulties and some things outside of the IED's control. I don't understand why it takes 7 and 8 months after repeated and repeated and repeated requests until finally LSBs are really kind of at her mercy, and decisions bottleneck, and we can't fulfill our responsibilities as an LSB. We can't get things done. Waiting to hear from the IED, it's not reasonable. It's really unconscionable. I'm also a labor union rep, so I'm not supposed to judge. It's my job to protect people's jobs. That's what I do. I defend people, but I don't understand this phenomenon. This is a phenomenon, and it's particularly dysfunctional. I don't understand it. And I think that anything that can be done to put some structure around that position in terms of how that position has to function should be done.
John, into the queue.
Tracy, for the staff.
People who haven't spoken yet, anyone want to speak to it?
Yeah, this is Tracy.
Good, Tracy.
Well, I mean, the longer that you're corralled, the longer that things start to cycle. And, you know, all, you know, variations of all of these complaints have been made about every ED I've ever seen Pacifica have or IED. To get to George's, you know, specific concern about the program council, which is actually what we're talking about, you know, you asked an interesting question there, George, but it's one that we've asked many times over the years, which is, you know, the PNB sets a policy and then it doesn't get followed, and what do we do? I mean, this has been going on for the better part of a decade. The scenario where we ask the ED to, what's the word, to bear down upon the general managers is something that we do pretty frequently. I would say that someone asked the ED to make a general manager do this, that, or the other thing probably 27 times a day. So there's a problem with our structure that it's basically all shooting through one person who has to supervise these individuals and work with them, and a whole bunch of people's feedback and desires about stuff that's going on at their station tends to run right through that chute. And it's a very wide thing going into a very narrow channel, so obviously not everything gets through quickly. I don't know. I mean, there is actually no obstacle to any of the GMs setting up program councils. They could have done it voluntarily, and they could have done it when the PNB passed the policy. The question you really have to ask is why don't they until they get a direct order from their boss? And that relates to the relationship between community input into programming and the staff at our stations, which is not an easy relationship in general. Speaking from my own experience facilitating KPFA's program council for 5 years, we already had one. We didn't wait for PNB commotions, and it operated for a substantial period of time. And when the staff at the station didn't support it anymore, then it vanished because they boycotted it and then shut it down. So having a sort of a directive from above isn't really the issue. What we have to have is a culture within our stations that supports community input into programming. If we don't have that, then I'm not sure you can enforce it from above, although I appreciate that you're trying to do that. Program councils can not function for all kinds of reasons. And again, when you have a boycott, then you're just setting up another body that nobody listens to. So it's good that we pass the motion, but it isn't per se the answer to everything. And I guess what I would just say is, if we have problems with our GMs, we should talk to our GMs as LSB members and as board members. Expecting everything to funnel down from the top is probably a structure for gridlock. And, you know, LSBs have a role in holding their GMs accountable and in holding the staff accountable. And I think that, those cultures and those relationships need to build up. We can't make it about one person to make everything that's dysfunctional work by force of screaming at everybody. That's an unrealistic expectation.
Tracy, I want to speak to that because...
Vanessa to the stack as well, please.
Because all it was really asked is she simply had to ask them to do it. In fact, our local LSB voted unanimously that they should move ahead with this. And still... actually, it's the program director who's digging in his heels. And it's precisely because there's a problem with the culture that the motion was put forth at the national level, because it's true at every one of the stations. You have the same kind of thing, a reluctance of the management to give up any control of programming, but you have all these people who are vitally interested in it, and basically you just simply wind up fighting about it. So this was intended to do something about that. And if you can't, if the PNB directives for something as simple as that, well, if you can't get it through the PNB, how are you going to do it? I mean, if the PNB's directives aren't followed in something which requires no time, really, from her, just simply saying, yeah, do it, then how are you going to make anything happen in this organization? And that's sort of where I'm at the moment. Let's see, someone else wanted to speak, and I...
Yeah, John was in the queue next.
I'm sorry.
I want to give people who haven't had a chance to speak yet.
With Vanessa's question, the rest of us are giving answers because we have some perspective on this. I have answers to the thing that you just mentioned, George, but I'm happy to let Vanessa go. I like what she has to say, but I think my comment
is... Is there anyone who hasn't spoken to this yet who'd like to speak?
Bob?
Bob, go ahead. Bob, I think you muted yourself. Bob?
I'll speak while he waits.
Is there anybody else who hasn't spoken yet who'd like to speak?
Well, Vanessa to the stack whenever I can.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Yeah, let's talk about design. In engineering, they have this concept of robust design. Airplanes have multiple computers, and they vote as to whether what to do on things. And so do space shuttles. They vote. There's two or three or four computers, and they vote. And because you don't want to have a single point of failure, the PNB needs to learn how to write motions to do not have single points of failure. The failure of the PNB to say that the LSBs, that the general managers or somebody shall make this happen, or maybe even the program directors shall make this happen within 30 days or else they lose their job, and they shall be overseen by, not directed by, but overseen by the IED, that kind of emotion would have made it happen. But because of a technicality and the willful malfeasance by our GMs, who simply say, well, I'm waiting for the GM, for the ED to tell me what to do, that's malfeasance and their head should roll. But the P&B is ultimately responsible because, let's face it, folks, they wrote a crappy motion with a single point of failure, and that's being exploited by malfeasant GMs.
Vanessa.
The problem is centralization of power, and you need to devolve the power down to the LSPs as much as possible.
Okay. Bob, are you back yet?
Yes, I'm back. Sorry, I got knocked off the call.
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the specific motion that's being cited as an example, which is the program council motion, not about the larger issue being discussed, but in terms of that, there's several of us on our LSB have been looking at that motion and have some serious problems with its what we consider a violation of the basic principles of the bylaws as far as governance, that, for instance, that the LSB should not be playing a direct role in a managerial function such as determining what shows are on the air. So I was going to bring to this committee, because I think it is a governance issue, and plus there is no longer a programming committee, a motion to reopen the question of that motion. I think program councils are absolutely essential, and we need them at all stations, but not the arbitrary and very rigid structure that was contained within the motion passed by the PNB, earlier this year. So I would not favor any, effort to move forward instantly with implementing this highly flawed, what several of us consider a highly flawed motion.
Okay. Anyway, Vanessa.
Yes. Well, 2 points. I appreciate at any LSB that is able to get information from their GM without being disregarded, ignored, disdained, insulted, and then the LSB can't physically make someone give you information. You can take a vote. It can be unanimous as a Georgia station, or it can be a majority as a TSW. And if the GM says, I'm not going to do it, then they're not going to do it. You cannot physically make them do it. So if the GM disregards the authority of the LSB and simply defaults to the IED, and then the IED is repeatedly inaccessible, then we have situations that bottleneck. And to Bob's point, in terms of it's not the LSB's responsibility to determine what shows are on the air, the LSB does have a fiduciary responsibility for the station. And if there are sweeping programming changes, I don't know what the percentage was, 50, 60, 70 percent of programming changes that then we believe, the majority of the LSB believes, has a financial impact on the station, at what point does the LSB involve itself in programming, which affects finances if we don't do it at that point? So again, all this is said to say, I think there's a very serious problem, and I support any motion that would try to put some structure around decisions being made or the LSBs being able to act without everything having to funnel through an inaccessible, in my experience, IED.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
Tony, Norman.
Good, Tony.
Yeah, I think there is some concern about, I mean, it's part of it is structural, and part of it is a management issue in terms of the IED issue. I mean, it is true that we've been having difficulties. I would prefer that we get written reports every month as being on the P&B. And the executive director's position is really an executive position. That means that is the chief executive officer that really has a vision for the Pacifica network, and should so it that person should have a staff or a team surrounding that person, so that when the P&B has to make decisions, we're not an executive board. We're not a board of chief executive running Pacifica. We are a policy board. So therefore, so we have to rely on the IED to come and, with, in a perfect world, present options in terms of crises and things that are happening. You know, you would have an executive director to come and say, we have researched this issue, here are our recommendations, and here's options to the board. And the board should make those decisions. But that's not necessary. What happens? We have to make a lot of knee-jerk decisions. So part of that is structural. Part of that has to be on the part of the executive director. It is true. We've had difficulty getting direct communications from the interim executive director, responding to emails and responses and things of that nature. And that's a very serious issue. I mean, we need to look at maybe she's just overburdened. She's also serving as chair of the board as well as executive director, which that really should be a temporary situation, but now that's stretching on to be almost a year now. So maybe that'll lighten some of the load of the executive director in terms of not holding both positions as being chair of the board as well as being executive director. That could contribute to some of the structural problems. But I don't think, I find it ironic that the person, the gentleman from L.A., is very quick, and I don't believe in cutting off anyone. He says the head should roll for the GMs that don't follow the policies of the LSB. I don't think you should respond that quickly. I mean, I see kind of a double standard. I mean, if the head should roll because the GM doesn't do their job, why shouldn't the heads roll for the IED that's not doing their job? But I'm not saying I support that theory. I think that you have to go. I don't believe in cutting off heads just because of immediate problems. I think that's the part of Pacifica. They've been chopping off too many heads every time there's a minor crisis. I think we've had almost 9 or 10 executive directors over the last 10 years. So that's part of the problem, ready to chop off heads instead of solving fundamental problems. That's a blame game. You blame either the general manager or you blame the IED, and you want to chop a head off. You need to evaluate a person and look at their total performance before you start chopping off heads. But I will say that we do need to look at this, that we need a true executive in that IED position. And that person has to focus on the day-to-day functions of Pacifica. And you cannot do that really when you're holding both positions as chair of the board. So maybe that can alleviate some of the problems and the tensions if the executive director wasn't also the chair of the PNB, which
long track.
As you can understand, there can be some obviously conflicts of interest with the chairman of the board also being IED. So that's no problem with that being a temporary situation, like a couple of months until you go through the process. But this is being a year. So maybe if that person didn't hold both of those positions, I think the IED would probably have more time to be the true executive director instead of holding both the position, may give her time to do. But the executive director should provide vision and management and provide options to the board. Now, we don't have options when we make decisions. We are forced, when things come to us on an emergency basis, to make knee-jerk decisions without having options at our disposal, without getting reports on what's going on. Like when there's a crisis that happened at the station. They tend to bring all these crises at the last 11th hour at a PNB meeting, and we have to make a decision to resolve them. That's no way to run business. That's no professional way to run a multi-million dollar organization. But we're forced because we don't get reports. We don't get if the executive director could just focus on being executive director, they can provide options to us when we have these crises that come to us. They would have used their staff and researched the issue and say, and then also make recommendations. Say, because I'm executive director, here's the crises, and here are the options I'm presenting to the board, and here are my recommendations. And then the board can make policy decisions. But too often we are forced to make knee-jerk decisions. And I think this has been going on for years, and not just this particular interim executive director. We've been making these knee-jerk decisions at the 11th hour, and to some extent, people take advantage of that. They bring issues up at the 11th hour so that the board can scramble around to try to make major decisions within a short period of time. And this business has to stop. That's not how we can run. We cannot run a multi-million dollar organization this way like we're running out of a church base. This has to stop. So I would agree with the general concept.
Long is back. Okay.
John into the queue. John into the queue, please.
Anyone else who hasn't spoken yet would like to speak on this?
Lauren Stack, and I'm addressed.
Then it's you, Lawrence.
Okay, so I'm going to address something what sort of along the lines of what Tony's addressing right now with Article 4, Section 2, Eligibility and Nomination of Delegates.
Oh, the girl.
Okay, I want to, I don't know if that was for me, but I'll take it. It says, A, eligibility, any listener, sponsor, member in good standing, that said radio station management personnel, foundation management personnel, or staff members may be nominated for the position of listener, sponsor, delegate. I think what this governance committee should consider is the idea of the status change during the listener, sponsor term on the LSP. It's viewed, and, you know, the IED is a prime example right now, because there is a lot of positions of conflict of interest. And, you know, I would go as far as saying that that maybe this there needs to be a bylaw amendment that states that once elected, and if the person is elected to the chair of the foundation, and then there's a vacuum in the executive management position, that status should be changed in foundation management, and they should be therefore considered resigned from the LSP. And any votes in which they participated in which their vote materially affected the outcome of said vote, should be considered non-void. Any vote must then be reconsidered. That is one reason why I believe critical issues require roll call votes. And right now, there's a lot of appearance of impropriety. There's a lot of appearance of conflict of interest. And I could lay you out examples where there has been conflict of interest this year and somebody carrying out a due position. So I don't think anything could be done right now, short of asking the person to resign the LSP position and just permanently focus in on being the interim executive director. But I believe that I'd like to bring this back next month to be considered for bylaws amendment.
Okay, Lawrence, it'll be first on the agenda next month. And we're actually out of time, unless I hear a motion to extend time.
I would make the motion that there's a stack that you exhaust the stack.
There's just John on the stack. Is there any objection to letting him speak? And I don't hear a motion to extend time, so that would be the...
Can we vote on your motion?
I didn't make a motion.
I thought for the program council.
No, that motion was already passed by the PNB, and I was trying to figure out what to do to move it forward. The PNB has already basically ordered the executive director to do it and hasn't done it. And that's the governance issue as far as I can see, and serious one, because it's if the PNB can't make anything happen, then no one can. I'm not clear enough in my own mind as to what to do next, and I appreciate
this discussion. I got a point of order, Chair. Point of order?
Yeah.
Can I get a sense of what people think about Article 4, Section 2, as it relates to our present state in terms of management?
Lawrence, that isn't a point of order, but I'll allow you to ask. We are out of time. Is there a motion to extend time for some period?
I move to extend time by 10 minutes.
A second. Well,
it doesn't need a second, but is there any objection to that? Okay. Then we'll go till 10:45. John was on the stack for whatever, and Lawrence. I think what I'll do is I'll unless there's a desire to continue that discussion, I'll let you put on the motion you wanted to about Section 4, and I don't think we can really, you know,
chew
it up tonight, but we can at least hear what you have to say, and we can put it on the agenda for next week.
Okay, just point of order really quickly. Before we leave the issue we were talking about, and I don't want to take up any more seconds than I have to because I know that he's very anxious to talk about Section 4, which I don't understand yet, but I would suggest if it's an enforcement issue, if the PNB passed, voted for something to happen and it's not being enforced, that we would take that back to the PNB and let them know, and then they can maybe take another vote on whatever enforcement measure needs to be taken, but whatever they voted, it's just not being adhered to, and that is a problem.
Do you want to move that?
I move it. So moved.
Okay. That the we let the PNB know that the Program Council motion has not been acted on, and we request that they do something to make it happen.
Intervene, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Bob for the stack.
Bob, go ahead.
Okay. I addressed this earlier, but I'll just repeat it, and actually I left out an important piece. I actually remembered that our board, our LSB at WBAI, passed a motion, I believe about 3 months ago, asking the Governance Committee to reopen this question of the Program Council policy because, as I said a few minutes ago, it's highly flawed. It goes against the bylaws restriction that the LSBs are not involved in management, and this is a supremely managerial function, which is to determine what programming goes on the air. And so the whole motion that the PNB passed needs to be reopened and reexamined and restructured. So I would be very strongly opposed to anything urging the PNB to push forward on enforcing this highly flawed and possibly bylaws illegal motion that they passed earlier this year.
Anyone else want to speak to Vanessa's motion? Okay.
Can she state the motion again, please?
It was a result of conversation. So I move for this committee to inform the PNB that their vote or authorization for the program council is not being enforced at the local level.
So it should be reaffirmed, is that?
Exactly. Exactly, just to inform them. I think Bob, whoever may just make the point in terms of it may be a bylaws, violation of the bylaws, it's a different issue. And that issue can be raised separate and apart from the fact that something that the PN voted should be done is not being done.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what's on the floor. And however this comes out, Bob, you can put the LSB motion on the agenda for next month, and let's take a vote on that. There is clearly an objection, so I'll call the roll. But again, so that what we're voting on, yes, is we should inform the PNB that the their directive has not been followed, and no vote says we shouldn't do that. Sharam?
Yes.
Lydia? Lydia? Vanessa? Vanessa?
Yes, in support.
Okay. Well, Mal Bernstein, Nancy Henschel. Bob Lederer?
No.
Pat Logan?
Yes.
Tony Norman?
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Lawrence?
Abstain.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Manisha Saba, Dina Pollard Sachs, John Wenger? John? Okay, you may be muted. Jane Zara? Okay, the motion passes. Lawrence, we've got about 5 minutes. Would you?
No, it won't take that long. I just wanted to, and thank you for the platform, George. I just wanted to get a sense of. I know I kind of read it really fast, and it And it was a lot of information. I just wanted to get a sense from the committee, members of the committee, in regards to what they thought about Article 4, Section 2, in regards to foundation management also being in a position of being able to vote for a lot of stuff that they have to carry out, and does that appear to be a conflict of interest? And I just wanted to get a sense of what people thought about that article and Section 2, which I will refine next month to bring a motion forward.
What is Lawrence, what does it say? What does Article 4, Section 2 say?
Article 4, Section 2 says, Section 2, eligibility, nomination of delegates. Any listener sponsor member in good standing except radio station management personnel or foundation management personnel or staff members may be nominated for the position of listener sponsor delegate. So what I'm just proposing is that there should also, that there should be a change when there's a change in status, as is the case right now with foundation management also being in a position to vote for a lot of the things, you know, that they have to carry out as well. And be in a position to not only manage those affairs, but also be in a position to advocate for those issues as well, which I believe is the definition of a conflict of interest. And I think Tony earlier was speaking to that. You know, do one or the other, or, you know, I mean, I'm going to refine it next month and bring forth a bylaws amendment, but I just wanted to get a sense of what the committee members thought about it.
Tony, quickly.
Good, Tony.
Yeah, I agree with the intent. We have to refine the wording and if how that would work, because, yeah, I do have grave concerns about that. I mean, from an objective perspective, I mean, we need to look at that if the chairman of the PNB decide to assume the responsibility of the interim executive director, then they really they need to step down from that chairman's position. You can either choose one or the other. You can either remain as chair or you step down if you're going to take on the interim executive director position, because it is an inherent conflict. And no objective person, being an attorney or good governance person in terms of nonprofits, will say that that's a good policy, that the chairman of the policy board should also be the chief executive officer. I mean, if you do have a situation that happens, I don't think it was even the intent. I think it's by operation of California law that this is the case. I don't think it was the intent that that be sort of a permanent situation. I don't think anyone who that put that provision in place envision that being more than 1 or 2 months. Because if it's longer than 1 or 2 months, you do have a very, very serious governance issue, because you have a person who calls the meeting, set the agenda, and also you have to run the day-to-day operations of the Pacifica Foundation. So clearly that's not a good governing policy, and that's probably, like I said, I think that contributes to why the interim executive director may not have the time to do the things that an executive director needs to just focus on. So I think we need to seriously, strongly go in that direction to try to prevent that sort of thing. Plus, another thing is, I want to be quite frank with you, I know this has been going on through the years. The mere fact that the chairman of the board will assume that position once the executive director is terminated for whatever reason, to me, that even creates a problematic situation. What if the chairman of the board wants that position? I mean, and the person knows that if the executive director is terminated for whatever meeting, I mean, this sounds like ancient Rome, when the chief generals would always assassinate the emperor. So that's a problematic provision.
Tracy, to the stack.
Thank you. Go ahead, Tracy. We got about a minute.
Okay. The provision is in the California Corporations Code. It's not commendable by this committee or by the Pacifica Foundation. It's nonprofit California code. We are bound by it. It's very clear that in the event of any of a vacancy for any reason in the position of executive director, by default, the chair of the board is the executive director until another is selected through whatever process there is.
Can I ask you a question?
We can't change that. Yeah.
Wouldn't you think it would be a principal position to state your potential conflicts of interest if that is the case?
Yeah, there's provisions in our bylaws that define a conflict of interest in specific terms.
Okay.
A conflict of interest is a legal term that has to do with finances.
Okay.
Thank you, Chuck.
We are out of time. Is there anyone wants to move to extend time?
No, I'd just like to move to bring this back next month as well, George. I'd like to
put it on the agenda and we'll continue the discussion. And Bob will put your motion on the agenda, too. If you could write it up and forward it to me or send what the LSB did, I'll put it on the web. Thank you all for a committed conversation. The meeting is adjourned. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. Oh, Elaine? Is Elaine there?